The opinions of the Mixed Babble podcast is the opinions of the hosts and the guests alone. We are not medical professionals. If you need medical advice, please speak with your doctor or a medical professional for guidance and treatment. Listener's discretion is advised. Explicit language and topics may be covered and used. Thank you. Hi guys, welcome to Mixed Babble. My name is Joni Brown. I am in the middle of the end of the world. What are you guys up to? Everything from the day-to-day bullshit, positive quotes that inspire me, books that I'm currently into, music that I'm obsessed with, or just whatever comes to mind. Let's get into it. Hey guys, welcome back to Mixed Babble. I am your host, Joni Brown. This is episode 3. Thank you for coming back and hanging out with me. I know you have a lot of options right now in entertaining yourself. Well, maybe not a lot. You got some, but I appreciate that you're choosing me as one of them. I won't be taking too much time on, you know, just shooting this shit with you today because I do have a listener message I received in the Mixed Babble Instagram DM that I would like to go over. And it's probably going to take a little bit of time just because this is something that I have struggled with. So the fact that I've received this as an inquiry and advice seeking message, I hope that I'm able to maneuver through it for the person that sent me the message, and then I help them kind of gather their thoughts with it because, again, it's something that I've definitely struggled with myself. But before jumping into that, just to give a quick recap of where we left off last episode, I had mentioned that I was going to be taking the nasal test again for COVID-19. And my husband was also being retested. He still has a positive test result, and I still have a negative test result. So that means my cleaning and sanitizing has been working. So that's great. And social distancing, of course. So that's been good to know that that's working. But he did test positive, so he's still not safe to be around as yet. So nothing's really changed on our front as far as me, you know, having to take care of him in that way. But through thickness and, is that what they say? Wait, thickness? Sickness. But thickness too. Because I definitely have gained some weight during this quarantine. I didn't even mean to say that, but that's fucking hilarious. Through thickness and in health. Anyway, you can't make this shit up, but I'm going to leave that shit in there because facts. So I've been taking care of him through thickness and in health. And, that's what's going on this side of the world. But, nothing new to report. I'm still, you know, engulfed in iZombie. I think I'm halfway through episode 3. Because there's nothing else to do, literally nothing else. I've been keeping myself busy with social media, posting everything. I'm posting even my little app that I had downloaded. I got this app a couple weeks ago. And all I've been doing is like the numbers coloring book, you know, coloring by numbers, I think is what it's called. And so I've been doing that, and it's brought me some joy, like unwinding and just sitting there and just coloring by finding numbers and these beautiful pictures, you know, once they're done, I've been sharing them on social media, and I'm pretty sure no one gives a fuck, no one cares, but I like them. So that makes me happy. I can actually tell you the name of it if you're interested. It's called Happy Color. It's a free app. You do get ads if you don't, you know, pay the one-time payment, to not get the ads. So, I mean, that's up to you. I, at first was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to pay for shit. And then I was like, you know what? It might be worth it because, you know, every 3 minutes I'd get an ad. So, I did pay for it to make the ads go away. And plus, you're supporting them. If you like the app or you like whatever it is that you're listening to or watching, pay for it. You know, that way it stays around. So that's what I did. Such a random note, but it's the little things right now that's making me happy. I have my little herb garden that I'm trying to keep alive, and I've been managing to do that over the past couple months. So that's made me happy. Just find the joy in just the little things, because what else do you have right now? But like I said, I am going to jump into this listener DM because it's a doozy. There's actually quite a bit of questions in this one message. So I'm going to try my best to address each of them, but I'll get right into that. All right. So the message says, "Hi, I have a topic I want to submit. I would like to hear your perspective on forgiveness. I know this topic sounds kind of weird, but hear me out. Sometimes we get caught up in not wanting to forgive people because it feels like a reward for the person who hurt us. How can we overcome those emotions? I think we can agree that forgiving people is beneficial to the forgiver, but why is it so hard to do? Is it pride? Have you ever been in a situation like this? If yes, how did you handle it, and how long did it take for you to get there? Also, could you talk about forgiving family members? Are we obligated to forgive family due to the fact that they are family? Or is there a line that needs to be drawn at some point? If yes, what is that boundary? I hope you consider my topic. I listened to your new podcast this morning and I really liked it." All right. So that was submitted anonymously. So this one's a doozy because in the past, I myself have had that issue with forgiveness. Okay, let me see if I can handle this in a way that it should be handled as opposed to the way I handle it, because I know what it is that I should do, but I also know that I'm very much like, fuck them, goodbye, you're out of my life, I don't care, I'm happier without the bullshit, you know? It's very important to decipher in these situations who is toxic and who is not. Who needs to be given the grace to be forgiven? There's also a level of it. Are they wanting forgiveness? Because sometimes people do things to you and they don't give a fuck how you feel about it. So there's that level of it. In addition to that, I think, unfortunately, depending on who the person is, if they've been in your life for 10, you know, 15, 20, whatever amount of years, especially if it's somebody that you say you've known since elementary school, it would be hard to walk away from a relationship like that. It's even harder to walk away from it when it's family for some people. I don't think, in my opinion, that family should get a pass just because they're family. My perspective on that is family is what you are born into. That's the bloodline, but that doesn't give you a pass to be disrespectful or spiteful or rude or any of the negative things that you would not seek out in a friend. So that I think for some people, they're like, but it's family, you know, I don't care. Personally, I don't care. Family does not get a pass to be disrespectful to you. We've had issues on, you know, my side of the family. We've had issues with Nate's, my husband, his side of the family. But, you know, boundaries have to be set, and you have to teach people how to treat you. At the end of the day, if you do not teach people how to treat you, they're going to treat you any kind of way, point blank. So let me get back into this email or this message so that I can make sure that I'm addressing everything. Okay, how can people overcome those emotions? Honestly, you need to have an internal dialogue with yourself and
figure out how important is this person to you. I think even more so, you can get sidetracked with the amount of time that you've invested in a relationship. You know, as I said, if it's somebody that you've known your entire life, you feel that, you know, they know so much about me, you know, am I going to remove them from my life? And, you know, that was my best friend. If they are your friend and they are as important as the weight you're putting on the relationship, you wouldn't be questioning yourself with that situation. I think it's important that you also talk these feelings out to an impartial party, like a therapist. That's important because that person is going to shine a light on things that you probably didn't even realize was a thing. I think it's very important that you have somebody that's unbiased to the situation. Don't talk to your sister, your cousin, your parent, because if they know this person, they're going to have their own thoughts and biases. Because typically, if it's somebody that's in your family that's talking to you about someone else, they're going to take your side. And what we need in our lives are not yes men. We need people that are going to be straight up and impartial no matter what. And unfortunately, even if someone says, I'm going to be impartial, they probably do have biases, especially, you know, if you have a strong relationship with them, they're probably going to take your side. So you don't want to necessarily go to somebody that has, you know, a stake in the game with you. So how do you overcome those emotions? You notice I still haven't answered that fucking question yet, because I don't think I have gotten to the point where I've overcome those emotions. When I've had, you know, fallouts with people, unfortunately for me, I typically eliminate them from my life. Depending on what they've done. This is not I stepped on your shoe and you're dead to me. not that level, but depending on what's been done, I do remove people from my life, because I have to identify what they bring to my life and if they're toxic. And even if they're not toxic, sometimes I think the biggest thing that I've learned in my own experiences, sometimes people are in your life for a reason or a season. And I'm going to say that again. Sometimes people are in your lives for a reason or a season. I've had people that I've thought was, you know, my dearest friends. They were around for some big moments in my life, getting married, you know, buying a house or whatever the situation is. And as much as it was difficult to walk away from that friendship or relationship or whatnot, I had to look at it from a distance and say, wow, you know, they were a great friend, or they were this and they were that at that time. And they served their purpose at that time. And not everyone's supposed to be on every part of your journey. Some people are just supposed to get you to that next, you know, that next spot in your life or next chapter. And then once they've gotten you to that next one, you might meet somebody new that they pass the baton on to. Or, you know, sometimes there isn't anyone there and you have to take the baton yourself. So overcoming those emotions is hard. There is no surefire way to get there. And what works for one person may not work for another. But I know it's important for me to work through those feelings and be honest with myself. Why do I want this person in my life? Is it because they're my safety blanket? Is it because they, you know, bring something to the table? You have to find out why it's important that you have that particular person in your life, and do they bring something to the table that no one else can? I know that it's important to not throw people away. I get that. And I agree. You shouldn't just throw people away. People should be able to make mistakes and own up to it and apologize for it and, you know, move on without resentment. But that is definitely easier said than done. And it's important as well that those people are also equally putting in the amount of effort that you are. Okay. So I don't want to be the one, you know, doing all the work and it's not being reciprocated. So that's also something that you need to identify when you might value that friendship more than that other person or relationship. I don't even necessarily mean romantic. Friendships are relationships. Family friendships are relationships. And I know that, again, a lot of people want to be like, well, but that's family, that's blood, that's somebody I'm going to see at the family reunion. Like, you don't get a pass just because you're family. You know, family is what you're born into, and you didn't have a, you know, choice in that. So for me, as much as family, you know, is important, I don't put it on the level of a pedestal that a lot of people do. I actually said something to someone recently. We were talking about family, and I made the comment that I don't give a fuck if you're family. And they looked at me and then were like, because they value family differently than I do. And they looked at me and they were like, you don't mean that, you know, you care about Nate, you value Nate. And I had to say to them, I chose Nate. I wasn't born into my relationship with Nate. I selected him to be in my family. So that is the difference. He didn't just get grandfathered in based on the fact that, you know, we have blood ties or anything like that. I selected him. I looked at his character. I looked at his personality. And I said, I want you to be a part of my family. So yes, I care about family when they have all the characteristics that are important to me. I can trust Nate. I, you know, value his opinions. I know that he is a good person. I know that he means well. So yes, I do value him. And yes, he is family, but he wasn't grandfathered into being in that position. So, that's important to note as well. Would you pick that family member that's being disrespectful to you as a friend? And if the answer is no, then you need to dig a little deeper to find out why salvaging that relationship is important to you, other than them being family. So the next portion of this said, I think we can agree that forgiving people is beneficial to the forgiver, but why is it so hard to do? So yes. We all have seen the quotes, you know, forgiveness is for you. It's not for them. It's like taking poison or some shit. Look it up. I don't even remember what the hell it said. It's some shit about taking poison yourself and hoping that the other person's going to die or some shit like that. I'm a philosopher, y'all. But yeah. So yes, it is for you. It absolutely is for you. That part of that quote is true. I think people worry about forgiving others, or not worry, but are uneasy about forgiving others because it can be seems like a sign of weakness. I know for me, I used to think that way, but that was when I was younger. I haven't thought that way in like 10 years, I would say, 10, 15 years. I used to hate saying I'm sorry, but when I, you know, got out of my own way and truly apologized when I was at fault, my life improved. And you know, the people that wanted to be around me, those relationships improved. It is a sense of being prideful. It's not a weakness. And I think especially forgiving someone when you know you weren't at fault and you weren't wrong, I think that's the issue. You think that if you forgive them, then that is admitting that they were right. And that is not the case. Two things can be true. I can forgive you, and I can also think that you were wrong and you're an asshole. So, again, two things can be true. One does not negate the other. So pride is one hell of a thing. It absolutely is. And it's a hard thing to get over and move past, but you have to do the work. What that work means for you, you'll have to make that decision on your own, because every situation is different and there's levels to this shit. Again, it could be a situation of, oh, you know, this person lied that they were here and, you know, at a party and I wasn't invited. And so you get mad about that. That's on the lower level of issues. Then there's this person, you know, murdered someone in my family or friend or whatever. That's another level of having to forgive. And those people that can do that, man, y'all are saints, because I don't know. I don't even want to go down that dark path on this podcast, but again, levels to this shit. I bring it up because it's real. So there's work that you have to do to figure out where you fall on that spectrum of issues. The next part said, well, I already told you I've been in situations like that. I've had quite a few of them. So I've had family members and friends that I no longer speak to. And so that's why this conversation is so difficult. And the answer is so broad and vague, because I have people that I no longer speak to. I have family members I haven't spoken to in, 8 years? And I've seen them, you know, here and there, maybe once or twice over the last few years. And it's cordial, but definitely not the way it used to be. But that's okay, because again, I realize that not everyone's supposed to be on your journey. Not everyone is for you. And I don't have to be rude. That's important to note. You don't have to be rude. You can see them out in public and you can give them a smile or not, but you don't have to be rude about it. But that doesn't mean that you also have to have them in your life. And one of the main things I wanted to mention is people need to understand that you can love someone from a distance. You can say, I love you and I don't wish any ill will towards you, but that doesn't mean you need to be a part of my day-to-day life. We don't need to speak. We don't need to communicate at all. But I wish you well. I hope that everything goes well for you in your life and your endeavors. And that could be that. You can love people from a distance. They don't have to be a part of your life just because they were once a part of your life. So let me see if there was anything else. I already told you how I handle it. Didn't really handle it too well, I guess, if you're really, you know, dissecting my response. And the thing is too, guess what? I have a lot of friends that are in my life now that, you know, are everything great that's going on in my life. So they're supportive. They are good, you know, advice givers, probably better than I'm doing right now. but all the things that I thought that those people were to me, I've found that in other people, and probably even more so. And for me too, you know, one specific relationship that I look back on that, you know, devastated me, I'm not going to pretend that it didn't. I look back and the more I think about it, I'm like, damn, maybe they weren't as great as I remember them to be. And that's another thing to keep in mind. when you're looking back, make sure you're not looking back at it through rose-colored glasses. Make sure that those things that they said to you replay in your head before you pick up that phone. And sometimes you should pick up the phone and make a phone call and talk it out and olive branch that shit. But don't look back at you know, situations and circumstances for what they weren't, because I think sometimes we do that. We look back at stuff and we're like, eh, it wasn't so bad. But then you remember what was actually said or what was actually done, and you're like, yeah, about that. Fuck them. So at the end of the day, it would be your decision, and whatever decision that is, it would be your decision to make, and you're just going to have to stand by it. Now, if this is a situation of any kind of violence, domestic violence, or anything like that, I would recommend that you speak with someone. Again, whether it's a therapist or, you know, law enforcement, I never would recommend going back to someone that is abusive, period. So I can imagine that the DM that I received was probably more so undomestic violence related. But I want to make sure that I put that out there, because I would never support that. I don't care what the circumstances are. Someone should never put their hands on you, period. So that is the end of my views on that. I don't know if anyone found that helpful. I hope you did, but this one was a doozy. Yeah, so they actually, I'm rereading this as I'm speaking, and it says about family members. I think I pretty much covered that, and the boundaries. You have to know what's okay for you as far as boundaries. We've had to set some, you know, in our relationship, we had family members talking shit about me, you know, to Nate, or, you know, talking shit about Nate to me, or whatever the situation was. And we had to put our foot down on that shit. Don't fucking talk shit about my significant other to me. Like, what the fuck is that? So, and the thing is, people will push that boundary. They'll say some slick shit and wait for a reaction. And if you let that shit slide enough, that that conversation will keep going till they see where, you know, how comfortable you are with them talking shit about the person. And the next thing you know, they're so damn comfortable that there's no coming back from that. Or if you do come back from that, they'll be like, well, where is all this coming from? Like, you never seem to have an issue with it before. So that's the shit you have to nip in the bud. It's the pushing of the boundaries. So don't let someone talk shit about the person you're with, because that person, in essence, is a representation of you, because you chose them. So if you're talking shit about them, that means you're talking shit about my choices and who I've selected to be with. So that's my fucking boundary. You guys can have your own boundaries, but don't fucking talk shit about my husband or, you know, whomever that I'm very close to me, because I ain't it. Why would you do that? How did you think that was going to pan out? But anyway, so yeah, that was a great question. Lots of levels to that one. So yeah. Oh, before I forget, you can continue to write in at mixedbabblepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow the Instagram accounts. Mixed Babble is on Instagram. You can DM your questions there as well. Let me know if you want to be anonymous or not. I will go through all of them and select the best ones to read on air. So let me know. And you can also follow my personal account at blonde_blasian, BLASIAN, on Instagram. So till next time, guys, I hope that you guys are staying safe. Wear your fucking masks and social distance when, you know, you're able to. But other than that, I hope you guys are having a wonderful week, and I will catch you guys next week, every Thursday. Bye.